If you would open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. I'll be reading from King James Version. Proverbs chapter 4, beginning verse 1. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. There are times in life where you find yourself in a position where you are grasping at what is the best thing to say and what is the best thing to do in circumstances you probably never thought you'd be in. And then again, there were some times where you knew this was coming. You just hope that whatever you do and whatever you say turns out right. In other words, it turns out to be wise. Let me just give you a few questions to think about. How do you approach someone who is consumed in drug addiction? What do you say to someone who needs the gospel? What church is there that I should be attending and worshiping in? If you're a member of a girls' soccer team, how do you deal with all of the girls that are on your team that do not worship or go to church anywhere? What if you are in the position of going to work somewhere and there are several people, not all of them, but there's several people around you that do a lot of lying on the job, either about what they tell the boss that they have done, they haven't really done at all, or they kind of smudge on certain figures and those kind of things. What do you do about those circumstances? And I could give you more and more questions to think about. In all of those questions, not necessarily every one of those are definitely life-threatening questions. They are, though, bring about some very hard decisions that have to be made. Very difficult circumstances, to say the least. And I believe there's something to be said for knowing that there are some people in the questions that I just asked who do not know what to do. They have no idea how to handle those cases. They don't know what to say. They don't know how to approach it. They don't know what attitude to have. Some, under those circumstances, they'll just say, well, I'm just going to do the very best that I possibly can, whatever that may be. Or maybe I just feel whatever it is I feel like saying or doing, then that's what I'll do. And then there are some people, in every one of those cases that I just mentioned to you, in the questions that they ask themselves or circumstances that they fall into, at times they approach it from what it is that pleases God. That's how they approach it. That's how they approach it. If you read, or I should say sang, with a spirit understanding of the songs that we just sang just a moment ago that Jason led us in, you understand the value of what the word teaches. And I believe you also understand the idea of the difference between worldly wisdom and biblical wisdom. If you take all those questions that I just asked in those scenarios just a moment ago and approach it from a worldly wisdom standpoint, then what you do is you look at every possibility of how that circumstance can best work itself out to please you, and that you'll be satisfied with, and that you'll be, as we say, and I'm going to use this word in quotations, peace with, that we'll feel good about what we've done, and we did the best that we could, did because of the circumstances. Not knowing what to do, and have stated, I don't really know what to do in the circumstance, you just said, I'll just do the very best that I can if I were to be approached, or whenever that time comes. If you approach those same questions from a biblical wisdom, then you're going to find out what it is that God would be pleased with you doing because you've listened to what he said. And as a result of that, he will bless your actions and attitudes and what you do in a means by which you can truly have joy and definitely the peace that passes all understanding and receive the blessings that that are associated with making a wise decision. It must be understood that every decision that we make is going to have a portion of wisdom associated with it, either worldly wisdom or biblical and godly wisdom. And let's just face it. When you, as a Christian, in this day and time, you look at the Bible and you see all these examples of all these people from Genesis to Revelation, you witness all those circumstances that those people were under, sometimes there's a tendency to feel, that's not helping me at all. That really doesn't answer my dilemma. That doesn't give me the tools to know what to do in these circumstances. And let's just think about it. All the ladies in this room, I doubt very seriously, have to deal with a dilemma of how to deal with what to decide to do when you have a two-timing man, like Rachel and Leah. I mean, you got Rachel and Leah who's got a man that's dealing with both sides, so you don't have that to deal with in some cases, okay? So you don't have to deal all, what's the wise thing to do under those circumstances? You're probably not going to be an Esther and put before the king like all these other women that are just really putting on the show so that they can impress the king so that they will be the next one chosen as the queen. Probably not put in those kind of situations. There are some things about those people regarding their character that they learn from God, though, that helps them in that decision of what they do. Some of you men, I don't know that there's going to be anybody specifically that's going to find some vision out of heaven that's automatically going to show some scroll that's going to open up and say, okay, you've got to move today. You've got to move from here to there, like Abraham dealt with. Not to say that there's a scroll that revealed itself out of heaven, but God tells him you've got to move out of your homeland and go to a land that I will show you. There are times where you've got to make a very serious spiritual decision regarding your family, just like Joshua did in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. As for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah. And the interesting thing about that is, have all of these other people around you make the same decision and echo what you said. We'll do exactly what Joshua does with his family. I'll do the same thing with mine. However, not all of them committed themselves to the same thing that you did as Joshua, you see. They just went back on their vow and their promise that they would do that. You think about the things that relate to Job's life. I don't know, and I'm not a prophet, and I don't know, and I don't understand everything about what's going to happen in the lives of people, but I don't know if we're going to face everything that Job did in one fell swoop. It just within a few hours and days that he dealt with. Losing family members, losing possessions, losing all the things that he had. And then come up with a decision of what we're going to do if we lose all that, all at one fell swoop. But there may just be one particular thing that we'll be faced with in any one moment where it's going to call upon us to make a decision either based upon, I don't know, or I think this is what I ought to do, or based upon Bible wisdom of what the scriptures really do teach. if I were to lose several things in life, job, family members, house, whatever the case may be. Let me ask you this question. When it comes down to your life, what is the smartest or wisest thing that you've ever done? What's the smartest or wisest thing you've ever done? All of you men should say, marry my wife, okay? That's what you should say. But what is the smartest or wisest thing that you've ever done? Now, let me ask you this. When you made that decision, whatever that decision was, if you qualified under the quotes of smart, was it based upon something that you saw, something that you read? Was it based upon somebody else's previous experience that you made the same decision that they did? What's the resource by which you pulled from to make the decision that qualified it in your mind and maybe in the minds of other people because they said it, that was the smartest thing you've ever done or the wisest thing that you've ever done? What would it be? What is that? Where's all this resource coming from that's caused you to make this wise decision or smart decision, as we would say? Sometimes there's a tendency to think that the smartest thing we've ever done is because other people have said it's the smartest thing you've ever done. And disregard whatever God has said for you to do. You just go by based upon what you saw as the instinct of what you would do. And in some cases, desperation. And it was not anything biblical, but yet you become to be the smartest person in the world. But let me ask you this. The thing that you've done in life that wasn't the smartest thing in the world, did you feel like after you did it, you felt like a fool? It was the foolishest thing, the most foolish thing you've ever done in your life. Sometimes the tendency for people when it comes down to wisdom is to think that wisdom is based upon what the world standard is as to the decisions that I should be making. Sometimes people make decisions and it turns out to be a foolish mistake. The thing is that they don't learn from that foolish mistake and try to obtain the biblical wisdom as to what to do next time. They'll pull from the same resource, thinking that in that midst of that desperation, somehow, some way, miraculously, and by luck, it'll turn out to be the wisest thing that I've ever done. Please know that if it was the foolish mistake to make it the first time, it will probably be the same thing the second time. If you pull from the same resource of which you made that first foolish decision. Somehow people don't understand. What you sow, you reap. You sow worldly wisdom, you reap the consequences of foolishness. In order to reap the fruits of what you see in the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to verse 23, you have to sow the biblical wisdom that turns out to show you as the wise person. The wise person. Let me give you an example of what it would be like if you decided to make a decision and as a result of that, trying to play two sides, the worldly side and the biblical side. The decision sometimes for a child is to be pulled from two different extremes. One parent who is godly and attends worship and the other parent who could care less. Sometimes it's in a divorce case or custody thing. And in some cases, it's a means by which it's even in their own home they have to deal with that. What would be the wisest thing for that child to do when there's a parent that wants to worship God and wants to take them to worship and will want to do the things that are godly versus the parent on the other side that will want them to do everything regarding the world and could care less about religion? If the child is doing everything they can to please themselves, going back to this illustration, going back to what's worldly wise, and so that it will work out for their best benefit, they'll do everything they can to please both parents whenever it's necessary. Go to church with the first parent because they're godly when it's time, or go with the worldly parent whenever that's time. As a result of trying to play both sides, what is the child going to learn? The child will learn hypocrisy. The child will learn inconsistency. The child will learn division. The child will never learn commitment. The child will never learn godliness. The child will never learn faithfulness to God. They will learn everything but biblical wisdom if they try to play both sides. Therefore, the smartest thing you've ever done in life would be to seek the wisdom that's from the Scripture. Listen to the Scriptures. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5, one of the most pointed passages about wisdom is where he talks about how it is in verse 15 of this chapter. Look therefore carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil, wherefore be not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is associated with what he says in verse 15, that which is wise. Walk that way and be that, lest you become to be foolish. Either we become to be wise or we become to be foolish based on if I understand what the will of the Lord is. Please know, though, the excellency of wisdom preserves the life of him that has it. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 12. Wisdom. It's the principal thing that Sam read just a moment ago in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. It's the principal thing. You need to see what you can do to do everything possible to get it. Wisdom, though, is one of these things that is biblical. When people talk about being wise, or in some respects people talk about being smart, the source of that is biblical. From God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. By faith, what? By faith, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If we truly believe that wisdom comes from heaven, then we'll do everything we can to please God when it comes down to what decision to make about all these girls and dealing with them that are on my soccer team and they don't care anything about religion. Or what to do about two parents, one's godly and one doesn't care. What to do about all these people that work with me and they lie. What to do about the situation of who, where should I attend worship? How should I deal with it? How should I approach somebody in drug addiction? Or what should I do about somebody who needs the gospel? All those decisions, all those questions will result in a decision, hopefully, of the source that comes from the Bible. The source that comes from the Bible. As a result of that, it becomes to be wisdom because it comes from God. And this is something that Job understood. In Job chapter 28, I want you to notice with me what it is that this man does. And we could read the whole chapter, but we won't have the time to do that. But from verse 1 all the way down to verse 28, you begin to see and understand how he understands how vital wisdom is. Surely there's a mine for silver and a place for gold which they refine. Verse 1. There's a good place for all that. He talks about how it is there in the question in verse 12, but where shall wisdom be found and where is the place of understanding? Now, I know where I can get gold. I know where I can get iron. I know where I can get copper. I know where I can get all these, but where is wisdom found? In verse 12, man knows not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. I can't go around here and search around for it. I can't dig it up out of the ground and say, okay, aha, I found it. I got what I need. The deep even says, it's not in me. The sea says, it's not in me. He keeps going on and on. It's not in the gold, it's not in the silver, not in any things. But then in verse 23, God understands the way thereof. He knows the place thereof. He looks to the ends of the earth and sees under the whole of heaven. And then watch this. In verse 28, unto man he says, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to such that depart from evil is understanding. He says, that's where wisdom is. Therefore, it makes sense as to why Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 3 and chapter 4 consulted God and says, I need some help here. I need a lot of help in directing the affairs of this group of people you call Israelites and that are your possession. I need some help. I can't do this on my own. Therefore, he says, I need your wisdom. And as Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. He says, you got to get it. Or else you're going to act like a fool. It's very important to know that when we talk about this idea of wisdom, if I get it, what am I going to learn about wisdom when I read it in the scripture? And I know it's from God, then what am I going to learn? Okay, let me just put the scenario here in front of you and let's think about this. Let's talk about going to school to be a history major or to be IT, computer technology. Let's talk about getting a degree in biology, okay? If you took the subjects associated with those things, what would you learn from the subjects, computer, history, biology? What are you going to learn? You're going to learn history, computers, and biology. You know that because you're going to read the books that are associated with that. I tell you what, there are some people that will talk about computers and they say only smart people can do that. People that are biology majors, only smart people can do that. Okay? Therefore, if you're smart in biology, you don't need to take the subjects. If you're smart in computers, you don't need to take the subject. If you're smart in history, you don't need to take the subject. If you're already smart in it, you don't need to take it. But pray tell me, why do people take the subjects? Because they don't know enough about it. Maybe they may have heard a lot about it, but they don't know enough about it to be wise in that area. Computers, history, or biology. As a result of that, and they come out and say, those people are smart over there because they know biology. It's because they learned it. Because they took the subjects that it took to obtain it. In the book of Proverbs chapter 1, we want to spend a lot of time here in Proverbs, the very first few chapters of this, but I want you to notice something that is stated here that is just so well stated and understood. To know wisdom and instruction in verse 2, to discern the words of understanding, to receive instruction in wise dealing, and in righteousness and justice and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion, that the wise men may hear and increase in learning, that the man of understanding may obtain sound counsel, to understand a proverb, a figure, the words of the wise and their darker understandings. Where, what do you learn from wisdom? You learn how to be wise. You learn how to be prudent, righteous, just, fair, simple, discreet. You learn all those things. Just as is stated right here in Proverbs chapter 1, you take knowledge. You gain information that either you didn't know, or let's just say somebody told you something you thought you know, but you found out otherwise it wasn't right. Number 2, you get discretion. You get discernment. You're able to put this by this, and you say, this is right and this is wrong. This is true, this is false. This is bad, this is good. From wisdom, you increase in learning. You are able to comprehend. You get more information. You have the knowledge. In other words, you get education. And then you get understanding. Understanding you didn't have before. 1 + 1 = 2. Sound judgment. You get the information that will counsel you with the proper advice that you need under any and all circumstances. And you understand that this is the fear of Jehovah. What do you learn? You learn to fear Jehovah. You learn reverence and respect for the one who gave you the wisdom to direct you in all these ways right here. Without your respect and reverence to God, you wouldn't have all that. That would be totally absent. And as a result of that, you'll be foolish in your decisions. Therefore, it's pretty simple, isn't it? To know of what the value of wisdom is, and that this is the number one thing that needs to be sought above all things in life. And while everybody else is out there saying, I just need to find a wife. I just need to find a job. I just need to find some way to handle all these pressures of the things that are around me. I just need to do something about all these crises that are happening. While everybody else is, hey, I need a college degree and I need this and I need this, the principal thing is get the wisdom. The biblical wisdom, not the worldly wisdom. It's very important to know that there are ways in which you can acquire wisdom. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 to verse 8 says, go to the ant, thou slugger, consider her ways and be wise. Okay, tomorrow, let's go find an anthill and let's go watch all the ants crawl around and let's watch them for 24 hours and figure out what they do day and night. And we'll be wise. We might be smarter than we were the day before, for sure. Interesting thing he says in verse 7 is, having no chief, no overseer or ruler, provide her bread in the summer and gather her food in the harvest. You can learn something about getting ready for the winter by watching the ants. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to verse 28 talks about the flowers and the birds. They're not out there pressured. They're not out there dealing with the crisis. They're not out there looking for a job. They're not out there trying to figure out what they're going to do for the daily food and necessities of life. God provides for them. They know that. And they don't toil. They don't sweat. They don't do all those things. We know that we have to work for what it is that we're able to obtain. But learn something from the animals. Learn something from the birds. Learn something from the flowers. And you gain wisdom just by looking at those little bitty things. And then Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Watch what the fool does when he builds his house versus what the wise man does when he builds his house. Learn from the experiences of other people. Titus chapter 2, verse 22, verse 4. Older men, older women. Learn from people of the past, history. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Israelites, and what it was that they did. He said these things were written for our admonition, for our learning, for our instruction. Like Romans chapter 15, verse 4. These things are written for time, are written for our learning. The patience and comfort of the scripture, we might have hope. There's something about what has happened with other people we can learn from. Other circumstances. Therefore, that's how you acquire wisdom. You must understand, though, wisdom is acquired when you humbly seek that wisdom with humility. You seek biblical wisdom. Without it, we deal with the number one crisis in the world, and that is self-justification. Our own comfort. What it is that pleases me. What it is that I think. What it is that does me the most good. Whatever looks good, feels good, smells good, is good. It's got to work. It's got to work. Everybody else seems to be doing it. I want you to notice something in the book of Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet. Isaiah chapter 30. And let's look at verse 10. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 10. And notice what it is that the prophets have done. He talks about them go right up on a tablet in verse 8 and verse 9. He talks about in verse 9 the rebellious people, the lying children. It says, to say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not, unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path. Prophesy unto us smooth things, something that will deceive us. Okay? If you listen to that information, you gather all that in, smells good, looks good, tastes good, it's got to be good, then what does that do for the people of God? Leads them into foolishness. Leads them into idolatry. Leads them into a comfort zone of self-justification as to why they're doing what they're doing. They're not consulting with humility God's wisdom. They're deciding based upon their own pride and what they think is best. And in some cases, they have no idea what they're doing. They have no direction whatsoever in what they're doing. It's their faith, quote, that's causing them to do it, but it's really not faith at all. It's just something that they believe. It's just something they dream up, and they think, this has got to be right. It's got to be right. Talk to somebody who's in the middle of a second marriage, who has heard from the scripture that they're not to be married, and then them come along and tell you, in an effort to justify themselves, say, I don't believe God would want me to be unhappy. Because it feels good where I'm at, it tastes good where I'm at, and people say to me that you look good than you did in your first marriage, even though it wasn't for the cause of fornication. Everything seems to be okay. Excuse me. It's a matter of self-justification. When we talk about this idea of humility that seeks biblical wisdom, it's simply saying, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I need understanding. I need God. I don't have the skill. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, it's not within man that walks to direct his step. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Go in the direction which God wants you to go in. I don't have the skill to do this. I don't have the direction that I need to go in. Listen to this. Read it with me. Come over here with me and read Proverbs chapter 2. Let's look at the first few verses. Let's say about the first 5 or 6 verses. Listen to this. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and lay up my commandments with thee, so as to incline thine ear into wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, if thou cry after discernment and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou seek her as silver, search for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of Jehovah and find the knowledge of God. For Jehovah gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. With humility, here's the results. Humility receives. Humility takes the commands and hides it. He inclines himself with his ear to it. He applies his heart. He cries out for discernment because he doesn't know. He doesn't know the direction. He seeks after it like a precious mineral, finds that knowledge, lifts up his voice, and says, I need more information. Searches, seeks, knocks. He's trying to find the wisdom of how he's supposed to deal with someone who's in the midst of drug addiction, dealing with all those people that lie, that he works with, having to deal with a parent over here that loves God and one that doesn't. How to deal with all those girls on the soccer team that don't want to go to church at all. What church should I attend? He looks for all this. He finds it right here. This is the wise thing in his approach of what he does. It's very important to know. It's just like what God does for Daniel. I think sometimes we think this idea of what Daniel is able to do is totally miraculous. There is some miraculous things associated with why it is that Daniel is able to say what he says to Nebuchadnezzar. The wisdom of which Daniel has to interpret the dream of Nebuchadnezzar is not only based upon what God actually reveals to him, I believe it has a lot to do with his humility. In Daniel chapter 2, you will notice in verse 20, Daniel answers and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. Which is absolutely opposite of the worldly wisdom of the enchanters in the realm of Babylon who could not interpret the dream. And as a result, Daniel says in verse 23, O thou God of my fathers, who hath given me wisdom and might, and hast now made known unto me what we desire of thee, for thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. You've given us this wisdom. Verse 47, the king answered and said, I'm Daniel, once the dream is interpreted, of a truth, your God is the God of gods, and the God and the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou hast been able to reveal this secret. When you do certain things, and people watch you do that, and then they respond to you in a very weird tone or look, and can't believe you would spank your child, can't believe you would dress modestly, worship God on Wednesday night. When you do those things that they look at and they think that's weird, what is that? That's because of wisdom that you found and searched out in the scripture. And as a result of that, you determine this is what pleases God, not what pleases me and not what pleases everybody else. It is important to know, though, that this wisdom is available for everybody. James chapter 1, verse 5, through prayer, God will give that, along with the knowledge that you receive from the scriptures that he's revealed. There's a lot more that we're going to talk about a little bit later about wisdom that I'm going to leave till, Lord willing, next Sunday and the next Sunday after that, possibly. But I want to leave something with you that I thought was just so interesting to me that Mickey read just a little bit ago in James chapter 3. Here's a dilemma that faces a lot of people. When you see the things regarding jealousy and faction and division and confusion and vile deeds that are mentioned in verse 13 to verse 16 of James chapter 3, immediately somebody says, well, somebody's got to do something about that. Something's got to happen, because all he says in verse 15 is it's not from above, it's earthly and sensual and devilish. It's all worldly wisdom. Something's got to give. The solution to that kind of wisdom is verse 17 and 18. Pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for them that make peace. That's biblical godly wisdom. See the difference? It's very easy to see. Really, it's hard to miss. The wisdom that it takes to be a Christian is not because of what you feel. It's not because of what the majority of the people think. It's only from what God reveals. It's how you receive the wisdom to be saved. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's the wisdom from above. Consulting everybody else, you receive the worldly wisdom, and everybody gives you their opinion. Everybody gives you their idea. But the biblical wisdom, that is true discernment and learning and knowledge that brings about the blessings and the benefits that God wants, is coming from him. Just follow through with it. Do what's right. While together we sing this song.